Psalm 34:10. Let's just move up to the 8th verse for a minute. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Psalm 34:8. "Blessed is the man that trusts in him." It says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." No lack, no want. It says in verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing." And we also know in Psalm 23 that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. Amen. We do not lack. So we are a blessed people when we seek the Lord. He said that we are blessed. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, that's you and I, we're seekers of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall not want for any good thing. Glory to God. And he goes on and he says to the children, and listen to him, "I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." So right in the midst of this, he starts out there in verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blesses the man that what trusts in him. Fear the Lord." It's the other thing. Realize that, hey, even when others around you, even if it's the young lions that lack, if you'll seek the Lord, you're not going to lack any good thing. Amen. I just want to remind us this morning that we're blessed of the Lord and that we don't have to lack anything because we have a good shepherd. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a good shepherd. Amen. And he leads us in the still waters and leads us in green pastures, and we do not lack for any good thing. And this morning, if you remember your offerings, we still have things at the church that we keep going. Amen. We still have our building, and we're going to pay the electric the hydro on time. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting there. I'm slowly getting over. Praise the Lord. The gas, the hydro, we still have to heat it a little bit. We've got some lights that come on once in a while, and we are there. So if you need anything, we're there for you 24/7. If you need to make a phone call, just call, okay? Don't be afraid to call. If you really do need something, we'll be there, okay? Anyway, we want to remember that, amen, because we're blessed. We don't have any problems. To remember to give what the Lord gives us as we purpose in our heart. We give not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Amen. No condemnation, but God is faithful. And we want to be faithful to him. Amen. Hallelujah. And honor him with every part of our life. Amen. 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 Not just the 10%, but we want to honor him with 100%. Amen. Yes. That everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That way we don't have to worry. He's going to take care of us. You know, if he needs something, we say, "All right, Lord, we hear your voice. Whatever you say, that's what we do." And that's all we're asking, that you just continue to seek him. We know that he's going to bless you. And we're praying that God gives people blessings in their jobs here and plenty of hours. So far, we've got, I think everybody that's had a job has a job. And
yes.
Those that didn't have jobs got some jobs over here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Maybe some of you had a few hours cut back, but we still praise God that what we do have, he is able to make go further than it normally would. Amen.
Yes.
All right. Enough about giving for now. But we just want to remind you, if you have something to give, you can bring it to the church or just let us know. Somebody could come by and pick it up, whatever you need. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning, I think we're going to continue on a little bit of what we talked about last Sunday. I know Wednesday night was kind of fast. We were talking a little bit about thoughts and bringing our thoughts captive and, getting ourselves transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then when we begin to seek after the Lord, you know, we continue to seek him. We find our place in Christ, in the body of Christ, through prayer, through seeking his word, we find ourselves. We talked a little bit about where Jesus found himself. You know, he found that, hey, I am the Son of the living God. He said, this is me, you know. I'm the one that sets people free. And he had to learn. He learned obedience. And as he spoke those scriptures. He found who he was. Amen. From the Word of God. And that's where we find our place. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. But we're going to kind of want to move back a little bit, because last Sunday we were talking about Jesus, revivals in the life of Jesus. And where he had different revivals, you know, as he went along, revival at Galilee, you know, and different areas. And we know that Jesus made a remarkable statement here in John 16:7. He said that it was expedient for you, John 16:7. We can look at that real quick. This is kind of a preliminary here, but John chapter 16 and verse 7 says that nevertheless, he said, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus is saying here, he just said, hey, it's important for me. I have to go away that I can send the Comforter you. Now, if we were here and we're thinking, well, why is it important that you go away, Jesus? We could ask that question. He said, he answered it. He says, if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, he says, I'm going to send him to you. Where was he departing? He was going back to the Father. Sit at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Jesus is going back, and that blood that cries out mercy for us is there forever on the mercy seat. Glory to God. That's good news. But he's there sitting with the Father. He said to enforce, you know, and say, hey, I have completed it. I have made you righteous. I have pleaded, you know, I have brought the blood, Father. So when the Father sees you and I, he sees us with that blood upon our heart. When we receive Christ, that blood cleanses us. That blood sanctifies us, sets us. He sets the seal of the Holy Spirit in there. The Comforter moves in. The great, you know, Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit himself moves in. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't entrust us to the angel. He didn't entrust us to just our own selves. He didn't save us and then leave us to ourselves. No, he says, no, I give you the Comforter. I have to go away that I can send this comfort to you. Okay? And last week we talked about that, and we looked at several places in the ministry of Jesus, and we found that no matter the condition of humanity that he would encounter, whether it was the lame, the maimed, the blind, the poor, or even the dead, Jesus always had the answer for them. Amen. He always had the answer, didn't he? Acts 10:38 is a really good scripture. Let's look at that real quick. And this describes a little bit more of Jesus. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, referring to his humanity, referring to him not just as God, but as a human, as a man, where he came and lived that perfect life. And God anointed that life. If he hadn't anointed that life, we could say, well, if he anointed Jesus, then he can anoint you and I. He anointed the apostles. We're going to look at some things today in the book of Acts, you know. And we can see that Jesus, you know, we were talking a little bit Wednesday about being conformed into the image of Christ. I mean, that's what he said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, you know, that we are being changed. We're actually being transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, we're changed into the same image. Not a diminished image, but that same image. Let me read that verse real quick. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Well, this is part of what we're doing. We're looking into the mirror of the Word of God. When you look at a mirror, then you can see who we're to be. Amen? We see who Jesus is. Here he says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit with power that he could go about doing good. Verse 18 said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we know that where that Spirit is, that nature, when we have the new nature in us, there's liberty. There's a freedom that comes to us. We are free from sin. But we behold the glory of God in that mirror, in the Word of God. When we can see the glory of God and we can see who we're to be. You know, James, what did James say in James 1? That when we look into the perfect law of liberty, it's like that mirror. Okay, let's look at James 1 for a minute. I don't know why I'm going through all this, but I am. Hallelujah. I'm just kind of setting the stage that we can see, when we look into the mirror, we can see Christ. As we did last week, we saw Him in operation. But today, I want us to move forward, and we're going to look a little bit into the book of Acts. We started in the book of Acts with one passage last week, but let's start at verse 21. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of that word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away, and right away, immediately, straightway, forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, so we can see here that, you know, when we look into that mirror, we're going to see who we are. We're going to see God's desire. We see what happened. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when we look into the mirror and we hear the Word of God and we see, we could say also, faith comes by seeing, you know, because we're looking into a mirror. We're looking into the reflection of who God is, of His desire in the earth. And we saw that in Jesus last week, in the miracles of Jesus, the different revivals of Jesus, you know, and if you need a list of those, we can get that out. I believe it's going to be on the website. It's going to be coming up soon. You can listen to that message again, get all of the scriptures that we went over last week, because we went over quite a few. Mm-hmm. Okay. But when that faith comes, it comes by hearing, or we begin to see. We begin to see something. Because you said, well, that's just words. Yes, but words create images. Mm-hmm. And when images are formed, we begin to see, oh, that's what was happening. This is what was going on. It's like a mirror to us. It becomes alive, and it's just like you're just looking inside. When we get that word in us to such a degree, we're just looking into the Word of God, or into the mirror of God, of what God desires. And anybody can look in the mirror. If you're seeing something in the mirror, can't you explain it to me? You can explain that picture. If you're looking at a picture, you say, well, we're just talking about this little corner today, you know, and you may just explain this little bit. So, you know, or if you're looking at me, you say, well, you know, he's got a mustache and there's about 6 hairs on it, and, you know, you know, or if you're explaining a dog, you know, you see a dog. Well, it was a big dog. Well, what kind of dog was it? Oh, it was a, you know, a Rottweiler. Oh, well, he was big and he was after me. And it was a big black dog. Oh, you know, and he had curly hair. Now see, that begins to change. You begin to see the image of that dog. And the same thing happens with the Word of God. We look into it and we begin to see the image. It begins to become clear to us. And I know many of you know those things, but it's still important because we're looking forward. We can say, and we can see that even as Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit of power, we see that ministry continue into the book of Acts. And last week we looked at chapter 4, but I want to back up just for a minute. Let's just start right here at the beginning, chapter 1 of Acts. Hallelujah. I got a few scriptures here today. I doubt we'll get to all of them today. How many do I have? I don't know. She said, somebody said if it's under 35, it's not enough. So anyway, but the Bible said by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Amen. So we've got plenty of scriptures, but I just want to look here. Acts 1:8 says, but you, Jesus says this. This isn't something I said, but Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we see here, we'll get power. When we receive the Holy Spirit, power comes upon us. And we see this here in the book of Acts. It came upon the disciples. It came upon those that were there and came upon those that, you know, were added to the church. Amen. And they began to display or witness for Jesus. Part of the witness that they had, they explained everything. You know, we talked about that in 1 John. You know, 1 John, he said, those things that we have seen and heard, which we have handled, which we have looked upon, we've touched this word of God, which was manifest to us, Jesus himself. And then they go forward and they manifest Jesus through the book of Acts, because they were anointed, just like Jesus was, with power to walk even as he walked. And we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night too. But how those things take place. This is a process I want faith to build in us so we can see these things are possible. I know it's good to say, well, all things are, well, what things are you talking about? You know, we're talking about, yes, signs, wonders, miracles, but all things. You know, Jesus also divided the fishes and the loaves, didn't he?
Yes.
We also see where God moved and supernaturally brought people out of prison. And so we can believe God. And so, let's go to Acts chapter 3 now. Now that's Acts 1:8. The power of God comes upon us. We know that Acts 2, they received the Holy Spirit, they're filled, and begin to speak the Word of God boldly, and Peter preaches, and we have a great revival. Hallelujah. But Acts 3, let's just start verse 1. This is a miracle here of the, Peter preaches. Let's just read here, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame, this is the healing of the lame man, he's lame from his mother's womb, was carried, he couldn't even walk, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here we got a man with a birth defect. He can't walk. He's lame. Lame from his mother's womb. That would be a birth defect. Amen. So birth defects are healable.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. It's all possible.
That's right.
God will do it if we'll continue to believe, continue to pursue him and begin to release. See, that's part of what we do. We receive that power on the inside of us, but it's released through the Holy Spirit and us cooperating with him. So he begins to move on the inside. And we see here, who seeing Peter and John looked about to go into the temple and asked alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, they said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Okay. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Glory to God. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms by the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's porch, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you." Wow. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Hallelujah. And this miracle kind of continues here in just a second, but we'll get to that. But here we have the lame man, and he was healed. They're going to the temple, the hour of prayer, ninth hour, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and they see the guy, and the Spirit of God places in their heart, they have the witness to, you know, the guy's asking for money, and he says, "I don't have any, but what we have, we give to you. Take it in by the hand, rise and walk." So he says, and the guy immediately leaps and walks. And everybody says, "Well, why are we not seeing," good question, "why aren't we seeing these miracles very often today? We see some, but I haven't seen the lame man that had been born from birth, who's out there begging. You know, now some people have seen these things. They've happened mostly in foreign countries. And why? I mean, you know, normally it's because they're eating from fruit of our tree, of our faith. But in a lot of first world countries, for some reason, it hasn't really happened. You know, I didn't see much in the U.S. We see some. We see, you know, we don't see a lot. I'm not saying there's no miracles. There are. And even you've got, you know, we've even seen miracles here, and some of you here have received them. Hallelujah. Amen. Things that maybe you've had for a long time, you've received that miracle, but some have not. You say, "Well, how come I didn't get my miracle?" Well, there's a number of reasons, but I don't know every reason. I wouldn't, you know, dare to say. Sometimes it's because we don't feel worthy. Sometimes, you know, in our own life, we have the right to believe and receive those things. And you say, "Well, here, you know, perhaps, you know, apparently Peter and John saw it. The gift of miracles came in operation, and he leaped and jumped and received that miracle." And those things should be happening. I mean, here it happened outside the temple. And I've seen more miracles outside the church, really, than in the church, even though we should have them in the church. Mm-hmm. We should be seeing them regular. Amen. The gifts of the Holy Ghost come into operation. But when we look further, Acts chapter 4, verse 6, "And Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power, by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'You rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. But be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught, if you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, they said to them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So then they had further threatened them. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So, and then last week, we'll look at it a little bit more here in a second, but let's just stop there for a minute. We see here that this goes on, because this miracle took place, and those in authority took notice. They said, we see this as a notable miracle, obvious miracle. This man had been at the temple for a long time. He was over 40 years old, had never walked. Suddenly, immediately, God strengthened him, and he began to walk and leap and praise God, and they noticed that. But in verse 13, as you notice, it says down here, let's just read the verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, it's not just because this miracle, I believe, took place because they had been faithful. They had been going to prayer. They had been seeking God. They had been with Jesus. They said, wow. Yeah, they walked with Jesus during the earth days. I understand that. You know, we can now, you know, everybody says, well, yeah, but that was them. They knew of Jesus. They saw those things that Jesus did, and they did. But we also see them because they were recorded for us. We looked at some of those last week, some of the things that Jesus did. Not everything was recorded, but we have enough. We definitely have enough. Amen. And we can see that what was recorded is God's plan and God's will. And Peter and John here had been with Jesus. I think it's not just walked with him, but they had spent time with him. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus says the first thing he said to his disciples, he called them unto him that they might be with him so that he can then send them forth. The first thing he wanted is that they would be with him. That's why I think it was important that they realized they had been with Jesus. They spent time with him. When we spend time with Jesus, time in the prayer closet, time with him, we begin to look into the law of liberty here and see the mirror and what he desires. Then our heart and our compassion becomes one with him. That's how his ability is released, is us having time with him, released with words, released through prayer, released through worship, released through knowing him. Because the thing is we see all the things of religion. A lot of religion has crept into the church before, you know, after this time. You know, a lot of religion. Well, if it be God's will. No, we know it's God's will. Because we saw it in the life of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The ministry of Jesus. We know it's God's plan and purpose. This is the word of God. So the only path that we have to enter in is to seek after him. You know, to continue to press into him. I mean, generations past, some of them, some of the, you know, generations, you know, it's been through history. Some of them experienced some great power of God. Yet, many men were not filled with the character of God, the love of God, the life of God. Mm-hmm. And what God's looking for is people that know Him, that walk righteously before Him, that walk in holiness, that are not afraid to say, yes, I'm a child of God. I am not just the miracles, but I also have a character that can handle all that God gives. You see, when Peter and John, many times, you know, even the Apostle Paul, they thought, you know, oh, well, he must be a murderer, the snake bit him. Remember when we looked at that chapter on the, you know, on Melita, you know, on that island. You know, the snake bites him and the people say, oh, he must be a murderer. You know, he shakes it off in the fire. Nothing happened to him. They changed their mind. He must be a god. See, that's man's idea. We're very, very, you know, up and down, back and forth. We're, oh, it must be like God. Oh, he's a god. You know, let's worship him. No, you know, and they have to say several times in the Bible, even, you know, no, we're just men. They rent their clothes and say, no, we're just men. It's through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that these things are taking place. And as we continue with him, our faith grows. Our faith can mature. And the more we spend time praying in the Spirit, setting ourselves in the Word of God. And then also we've got to also be bold to speak the Word of God. Amen. We are available. We're preaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It's through faith in His name alone, not through faith in anything else, but through faith, not our good works. See, a lot of times, sometimes we don't receive things from God. You know, some people say, well, I'm not good enough, first of all. I just don't deserve it. You know, they feel unworthy. And that's where we come in and we say, now listen, you know, here is the righteousness of God that was given to you. You became His very righteousness. You became that son and daughter. You have received an inheritance of Him, not based upon your worthiness, but what Christ did, His worthiness, the gift of righteousness that He gave you. You can receive from the Father. See? Then the other side is, you know, sometimes people, oh, I've been saved a long time. Father, look at all the things that I have done. You know, I must, you know, I should receive healing. I've been serving you, Lord. You know, we cannot base it upon that either. You know, not our good work, but on what Christ did alone. Amen. We're only good because of Him. We're only righteous because He gave it to us. We live in true righteousness and holiness because of the salvation of Jesus and His sacrifice alone. Hallelujah. Faith in Christ and Christ alone, not in our own selves. Even if we do great things with God, we can't look to that. You know, we don't just set up a memorial. Now look at this great thing. Sometimes people do. You know, certain things happen in their life and they get stuck with one thing. You know, they get born again and, you know, we can live in our testimony so long. You know, but eventually you've got to move beyond that unto the testimony of Jesus. Amen. And not what He does. And we learn who we are in Christ. And as we learn those things and begin to practice that presence, practicing the presence of God on a daily basis with the little things of life. You know, we got to make it practical. We got to bring it home so that I am putting into practice. The Bible also says, see, we see these things and this is great. But we also have to remember it's not just those scriptures. It's in context with the Word of God. And He said, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do to the glory of God. When we go to work, we work as unto the Lord. And we know that if we work unto the Lord, we're going to work hard. We're going to be honest. We're not going to steal. We're not going to do the wrong things. We're not going to steal time when the boss isn't looking. You know, we don't work hard because the boss looks at us. We work hard unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, that God's be pleased. And we know when we're pleasing Him, the boss is definitely going to be pleased. And if they're not pleased, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to work unto the Lord. You know, I had a boss that was never going to be pleased. You know, I've had bosses, you know, they're not going to be pleased at all. No matter what I do, I can't satisfy them. And so I have to become confident in who I am in Christ and know, hey, I am working as unto you, Lord. I know I'm doing a good job. I know I'm doing great. You know, and I have to take, you know, say, hey, I'm doing fine. And not necessarily, you know, that I'm so wonderful, but Christ is in me and I'm doing it unto him. He gives me the ability. He says, I give you the power to get well, to get wealth. Well, gives you the power to get well too. But here we see that. But it's based upon where they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. When we're with him, we're praying, we're seeking him, we're asking him. It goes on to the next, it caused a lot of trouble. We've got to be prepared. I mean, people start getting healed left and right. If doctors start losing too much business, they get a little upset. There's going to be some persecution. They might put an ad out in the paper, and start talking all the bad things about you. Oh, well, what they are, you know what they do? They put people in trances. They're just special people, they know how to control people with their words. That's what they do. They're like hypnotists, and these are real things that have been said about people in certain places. And, it may not be true, but you've got to be ready to withstand those things. They brought on persecution. The leaders we see here came out. Now they're saying, don't preach anymore in that name. Stop it. We're going to lock you up. We're going to stop you if you don't stop it. And so we got to be ready for that. Now that's different. I mean, when you're preaching the gospel, so what did they do? They went to their own company. We read this last week. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. Hallelujah. Which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David, they remembered, hey, this is who God is, has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They didn't look at that they were against them. See, they were against the Lord who's in them. There's a place in Romans, I don't remember the exact scripture, but Paul had said, the insults of those who insult you fall on Christ. Mm-hmm. They fall on him. They're not against you. They're against the Christ that's in you. Mm-hmm. For of a truth, he said, against thy holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine, therefore to be done. I'm reading a lot today. Praise the Lord. The word's good. And now, Lord, verse 29, they said, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of these things which he possessed was his own, but they had all these things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So they're here and they have great power. Begin to speak. I mean, they prayed. The Holy Ghost falls upon them. And we know that prayer was answered over in chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So we see here that they had a lot of things going on. They got the persecution, but they didn't run from the persecution. That's what I was talking about a little bit, because sometimes we have great things happen, there's great persecution. Now you're saying, well, why would people persecute them? Because they don't like Jesus. That was what they didn't like. They didn't like the Christ in them. Nevertheless, they could not, it says they could not. It was a notable miracle. They couldn't say it didn't happen. And that's what we're looking for. It was tested. It could be tested by the doctor. It was tested, obviously. He leaped. He jumped. He's in the temple. They had all known him. He'd been there 40 years since his birth. Not necessarily at the temple that long, but here they're dragging him up there every day to beg alms. Right here at the temple. It'd be like being at the church, Who's there? So if you've had something for a long time, don't give up. Amen. We're going to keep believing God. We're going to push until something happens. Amen. Yeah. We're going to keep believing. I'm not saying it has to take a long time. I'm not saying that at all. But perhaps even Jesus walked by the guy a few times. But he didn't ask Jesus. He asked the disciples and, his followers here, the apostles in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church. There's the transition being made. From old covenant to new covenant. The new covenant came in with Jesus. He brought that in. And these guys are saying, now I'm testifying of who Jesus is. We're going to be witnesses of him. We know we have power. They were certain of the power that God had given them. And that's another thing. We have to be aware of the Holy Spirit, that he's with us. Sometimes we're not as aware as we should be. And so we need to practice that presence, not just in the closet, but when we're walking about. Oh, Holy Spirit, I know it sounds strange, but in your own self, doesn't have to be out loud of people around you, but you're thinking, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? Shall we get this? Shall we do that? He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to walk with us, and when we see certain things, I'm not saying every time. Right now, all I know to tell you is we have to be led of the Holy Ghost. When we're led of him, he's going to lead us into the miracle power of God on purpose if we'll continue to seek after him.
Yes.
Because these are the things that he wants to do. This displayed his glory. This displayed his power. Yes, it brought persecution, but it also brought 5,000 people into the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
They got 3,000, 5,000, larger amount. I'm not saying it has to be large amounts of people, but I don't think they were ready in the day of Pentecost after 3,000 people were saved. I don't think the church was trying to be ready. Sometimes we're so caught up, we got to be ready, and we do. We need to plan. We need to be prepared. But there are times I think, God came suddenly, and he may come suddenly, and we may, we prepare all we can. But sometimes we may not be fully prepared, and things had to change. They had to get things in order. They had to go house to house. Hey, we got to start teaching these people. We got to get them in. Hallelujah. And that's when... even when they went in the book of Acts, in chapter 6, where all the leaders kept together and they said, hey, set out some people. They realized certain things are not being done, not being handled. So let's find some people full of the Holy Ghost and power, and they begin to choose some people. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know why I got on that, but I am. But anyway, it was important because they had to look out for some people. Let's see. Just look at chapter 6 for a minute here. Let's look at verse 3. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, what was happening in verse 1? Because they're widows. The very end of verse 1 says, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. They were being neglected. They realized these people are being neglected. They didn't like that. They said, hey, okay, here's what we got to do. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus, and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So they choose these men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom they set before the apostles when they laid hands on them, And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So here they were finding some people, more people, filled with the Holy Ghost, that they could say, hey, take care of some of these things. And they did. And many of them, being full of the Holy Ghost, did some other things. Hallelujah. And let's go to chapters, is it 9 or let's go to Acts chapter 7. Well, let's see. Let's just stay here for a second. Hold on. Chapter 6. Let's see. And they were obedient to the faith. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great miracles, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue. They've got some persecution here going on. And so let's go to Acts, let's see. No, through 10. I'm in the right place. 9. Let's go. Acts 6, chapter, verse 8. Let's just go 8. And Stephen, full of the faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Seleucia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So we see there that they chose them, but then Stephen also, being full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, did the great miracles. The great power came. And we see more in let's go to 7, verse 54, chapter 7, verse number 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. This is Stephen was speaking, and he begins to explain to them what's going on, and they didn't like it. Basically, he said, you killed Jesus, you know. And but here we go. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart from Stephen's words. They couldn't resist those words, remember? And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their coats at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling him upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, this is an interesting story because here Stephen went out, started having the miracles, but they did not appreciate all his miracles. He's bringing great miracles to the people, but he didn't freak out when they were upset with him. You know, I mean, this is the thing that we see with the apostles and in the book of Acts, that in certain revivals of the past, it was shameful, some of the things and the ways people answered. Yes, they had miracles, and yes, God used them. But at the same time, there's things in their life that were not correct, that were not pure, that were not all holy. Now, I'm not saying every single person, but at the same time, God was using them to do some of those things with the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But here we see Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost and with power. When persecution came upon him, he remembered the words of Jesus. Forgive those, you know, that hurt you, that despitefully use you. Mm-hmm. He was taking the words of Jesus to heart. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. And they laid their coats at the feet of Saul, who later gave his heart to Christ and became one of the great apostles of our New Testament. And he changed his name from Saul to Paul, you know, because he had received Christ. He got that, you know, they did that a lot. I mean, Jesus gave, you know, Peter his name, Simon Peter, you know. Simon, you know, sometimes they call him Simon, but he's also Peter, the rock. He said the little rock. You know, I am, you know, Jesus was the rock of revelation. He said, but you're the little rock, Peter. You've got this revelation from the Father of who I am. You are Peter. Upon that rock, the rock of this revelation of who I am, I build my church. Hallelujah. But here we see Stephen, who laid down, kneeling down. He cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge, Lord. Don't do it, Father. In other words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he breathes his last. He died. He was killed. He was the first martyr in the church. And yet he laid his, you know, the coats of those that laid at the one that destroyed him. I mean, Saul was a terrible. We know he was. They were afraid. They were in fear. As a matter of fact, when Saul actually got saved, I mean, they didn't just automatically receive him. They're like, no, he's been persecuting people. They thought this must be a trick of some kind. I mean, he's locking people up. He's having them beat. He's having them taken to jail. I mean, he's having them stoned. They were sure. I mean, this guy is a holy terror. And it was against the church. And he himself knows he was. But here Stephen released him. Stephen forgave him. And many times I believe, well, we can see here that later Paul was born again. And perhaps if Stephen had been there, he wasn't there saying, oh, you shouldn't be doing this to me. This isn't right. I'm being persecuted falsely. No, he turned to the Lord. He had his vision higher. He had his mind set on God's things, on higher things. We talked about that Wednesday night. Setting our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And his heart was there. His heart was in it. And see, when we spend time with Jesus, then our heart is changed. See, we're not having the heart of I could have a bigger ministry. I mean, even that can be an idol. You know, people had big ministries, you know, even during the revival. And one particular man in particular, he went and flew to Australia, I think, or somewhere, had some people go out and measure, you know, the tent of the other preacher, you know, or Robert's tent, so that he can measure it and make it 1 foot bigger. I've got the biggest tent, you know, but he didn't judge himself. He would not judge himself. In certain areas of his life, he didn't judge himself in love. He didn't judge himself in, you know, but he's not walking in the love of God, you know, and he's setting other things before what God wants. Yet he had great miracles. He was called to it. It was the gift that was on him. You see, gifts aren't what makes the man. The character makes the man. The gifts follow the preaching of the word of God. They will come. When we testify of Jesus, they're going to come. But in this revival, God wants men and women who are secure in who they are in Christ and the character of God that lives on the inside of them. Where they are reviled, they don't revile back. They forgive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not easy. It's not always easy on the flesh. Our flesh is tendency, well, you did me wrong, I want to do you wrong. No. Peter, you don't see that at all here in Stephen. No, Father, forgive him. They're killing him. They're taking his life. But he had been with Jesus. His life already belonged to God. Hallelujah. Yes. And yeah, it may, you know, there's going to be casualties in the body of Christ, just the way it is. There's some things that, you know, we may not win every war, but the fight in the war is not over. Mm-hmm. We are going to win the war. I say every war, every battle. I'm sorry. Thank you. It's not, you know, we don't always win every battle, but we're going to win the war. We're going to ultimately become the victor. You know, it may look like you're losing sometimes. It looks like Stephen's lost here. His life's gone. He's done. He preached the gospel. Get some people saved, you know, proclaim the gospel regardless of what happened to him. And that's where we have to have our stake. You know, our stake is martyrdom. We don't want to have to go there, but if we do, that's where we end. You know, that's it. You know, we don't leave this earth anytime early, you know, unless it was for the gospel's sake. You know, and there are some martyrs today. We know that. They're being persecuted today in foreign lands. And some of those places, the gospel's being preached all over. There's great revival in Iran, I understand. I mean, that's amazing. mostly by the women. Hallelujah. Thank God for women.
That's right.
So much for those religious people that don't think women can preach the gospel. But you ladies are wonderful. We need you. God needs women just like he does the men.
That's right.
Men, you need to stand up too. Hallelujah. We should be the leaders in that. But
yes.
If he can't find them, God will use those women. Hallelujah. He'll use them anyway, but I mean, you know, he prefers to use it in connection. There's neither male nor female in Christ. That means there could be a call of God in your life as a woman to
Amen.
Preach the gospel, to have miracles, signs, and wonders.
Right.
And, you know, and men, praise the Lord, all of us, but it's not gender, you know, set. The body of Christ, in Christ, we are one with him.
Yes.
And he becomes our security. He becomes our strength.
Yes.
And when our mind is renewed, when we can see what he wants to do, but we take the whole word of God as our counsel. Like we were talking about Wednesday night, you know, as Jesus was, you know, so are we to walk. We're to walk like he walked.
Yeah.
I mean, he did not ever, I mean, when he was brought before the king, he didn't say a word. He did not try to defend himself. You know, but part of that is I believe that we always have the defense. We have a defense in Christ. He said, when you stand before those kings, governors, I'm going to give you what to say. Don't worry about it. Don't think about mm-hmm. it. I will fill your mouth. And they will not be able to gainsay the words with which you speak, even as they couldn't with Stephen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know why I'm getting all that, but I think it's important to see here in the early church, that's really what God wants. He wants character within us, you know, so that we are stable and strong and we don't run at persecution, the first little problem we have.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Brother Doug. You know, and we deal with the things that are in our life.
Yes.
God's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your stronghold.
Yeah.
He knows all about it. He knew it before you even started talking to him. But the Holy Ghost will reveal it in such a way that you can see it. And when you can see it, he can use that. He's already built you up above it. And you can begin to access it out of your life with the Word of God. And we are changed, it says. The Bible says we are transformed. We're not just, yeah, we're changed from glory to glory. But that really, that word is a transformation. We actually become those things. We can become, where there was hatred in our heart, we can have love. Where there was unforgiveness, we can have forgiveness. And sometimes it doesn't always feel good. But we can walk in the Word of God, regardless of what the feelings are, knowing that this is the truth of the Word of God, and we know that our feelings will ultimately follow. And we spend time with the Father. You see, they were with him. They recognized it. Peter, man, that Peter and John, they're there, the gate, beautiful, they come by. Wow. You know, these are unlearned men. Yeah. These guys aren't all that. In other words, I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but they're saying they're not all that smart. You know, they're not like us, you know, us great, you know, Sanhedrin and, you know, the Sadducees and Pharisees begin to speak, you know, and they said, hey, we've been learning. We know all these things, but these men, they have been, but they perceive something. They've been with Jesus.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And they're going to perceive that about us when we're with Jesus.
Yes.
See, there's a fragrance of him that we carry.
Yes.
We are his temple. We carry his glory. We carry his presence. We need to realize he's ready right now. Whatever the need is, he's ready right now to manifest himself. And I know you believe that, and I know we believe that. But we come more and more in the strength of that as we see him and see what his word has said. And when we see the mirror of who he really is and what Jesus displayed and what the disciples displayed is the fullness of the glory of God. And that was in manifestation. And we'll see here, I mean, we saw, you know, you remember Ananias and Sapphira. It was important. The glory of God was there. And they came and lied, not to Peter, to the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. You know, it would be just like today. You come up, oh, well, you know, this is my offering. You know, or maybe they were taking offerings and you announced, here's how much we had. Is that what you sold it for? Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. And the glory of God was present. You see, there's going to be people fall dead in the pulpit. There has been, but there's going to be more of it. Because they're not, you know, if we don't have the holiness of God and the righteousness of God in the heart to follow after him based upon what Jesus did at the cross, not our own good work. See, we could boast. We could start saying, you know, oh, look what we've done. You want to stop the power of God? Start sharing the glory. See, some things belong to God. That's what Pastor Dave said. I'm giving credit for it, but he'd say, some things belong to God. All the glory is one of those things. Mm-hmm. So when we're in our times of worship, when we're in our times with the Lord, we say, Father, we give you all the glory. We already give you all the glory for all the manifestations of your power, Father. We thank you, Father, that the lame walk, the blind see, the maimed are whole, the dead are raised, Father. We separate all this glory unto you, Father. We choose right now as an act of our will, before we ever see anything, Father, to give you all the glory. And we practice right there in our prayer room. Father, we give you the glory. Because we know that you desire to see these things happen. And we decree and declare that's what's going to happen in our lives, Father, because we are witnesses of you. We are filled with your power. We are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, Father, because Jesus was made unto me wisdom, because he is my righteousness, because he is my holiness, because of all that he accomplished and he lives with me and in me. I am, as he was in this earth, alive unto you, a son, a daughter of the living God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, more than a conqueror, always overcoming. And when the need is present, I know that you are with me, Holy Spirit, and that you are ready to destroy the work of the devil that you already made a show of openly. And you and I, working together, Holy Ghost, we're going to enforce his defeat, and we're not going to take no for an answer. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to see these things take place, and we're going to enter into that place with you where we are bold to preach the gospel of Jesus with signs, wonders, and miracles and the power of God present in this life right now before we enter into glory. Hallelujah. His glory is going to come to the earth and we're going to walk in that glory. He said we can have days on heaven on earth. Hallelujah. It'll be like heaven on earth. Glory to God. And I believe we're entering in there, but we've got to be those that are with him, hallelujah, that hang out with Jesus, that his nature, see who you hang out with, you start becoming like. You ever see the husband and wife? Oh, well, you know, they can finish each other's sentences sometimes, you know that if you're married, you know, sometimes you can, you know, or if you have a close friend, you know, you kind of have an idea what they might be saying. I'm not saying you know everything, but you know, you kind of hang out and you get to know them, and some of them rubs off on you, some of you rubs off on them. It just happens. Why? Because you know each other. Because you're hanging out together. When we hang out with God, hallelujah, the divine exchange. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. We're going to run and not be weary. We're going to walk and not faint. Even if those that are young and those about us, they may faint. But hallelujah, the strength of God is in us. Yes. We are going to see this world won. Yes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. We're going to see St. Thomas filled. Yes. And I believe, you know, the glory of God that can come and stay at a place. Hallelujah. Where it's first time, every time, all the time.
Yes. No exceptions.
No exceptions. Yes. Glory to God. He said, well, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. It's not only possible, it's going to happen if we don't quit.
That's right.
Now, the only way that we can fail is if we quit.
Yes.
He said, yeah, but am I going to see it? I can't tell you that. What if? What if? I'm just going to give you what if. I'm not saying it's so. But what if your part is just to pray it in?
Yes.
Yep. Amen.
Yep.
What if it is? Are you going to be satisfied with that? Because that's the reward that God brings, hallelujah, to you.
Yeah.
But I believe we're going to live to see it in our day. We're very close to some things. I know some people have really been pressing it. I'm not saying it has to take 20 years. I don't believe that. I really don't. I know that in, you know, when we can continue to press, when we can believe that, when we can see it in the Word of God, and faith continues to come because we see it in the mirror, it will take place.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father, for your glory. We thank you for your presence in our life. Yes. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that you filled us with power and with life, and that your love, Father, is filled into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we exude, Father Jesus, everywhere we go, in our character, in our thinking, Father God, and how we respond to people, that we are love, joy, peace, patience. We're kindness, we're goodness, we're faithfulness, we're gentleness, we're self-controlled, Father God, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And I thank you, Lord, that just like Jesus, Father, just like the apostles, Lord, we go about doing good and bring answers, whatever the need, Father. We are able with you, Lord, with your anointing, with your power that resides within us, to bring the answer, no matter what it may be. Lord, that those that are also bound in an emotional or a mental wheelchair, Father God, that they can be set free. Those that are bound physically can be healed, Father. But hearts can be changed and lives can be changed in a moment of time, Father. We're trusting you, Lord, that as we pursue you, that we can walk with you while we're walking into the fullness of who you are. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.